Welcome to the PapaCast on the Gridiron. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
Another edition of the PapaCast. So glad you can join us as we focus in not only on the National Football League, but more importantly, about giving back. That's what this episode is all about. It's about never saying no when it comes to life. And who better to talk about it than a man who spent many years in the National Football League playing linebacker? Chris Draft joins us here on the program. Chris, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Chris played, broke in with the Bears in 1998. His last season in the NFL was with Buffalo in 2009. Chris, obviously, it was a hard road for you coming into the National Football League. You know, you played your college ball at Stanford, but no guarantees for a sixth-round pick. What were some of the things early in your career that helped you really identify the fact that you were going to be able to play in the National Football League and play at a high level?
Well, I tell you, what made me really question was I going to be able to play was when I was in Chicago, and I got there for the offseason, and I was asking a lot of questions because, you know, as a rookie, there's so much that you don't know. The playbook is huge. And I was asking a lot of questions. And my coach looked at me, and he basically said, you are asking too many questions. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be hard. This is going to be a tough road. But when did I know that I had the opportunity where I felt like I could be around? It really wasn't with Chicago. It was when went to the 49ers my second year, and I had a chance to play under a guy, George Stewart, was my special teams coach. He's a wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings right now. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, I know you can play. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need. You need the right person at the right time that lets you know that the work that you've done, it's been seen. You might not have been on the field a whole bunch, but somebody knows that once you get on that field, good things are going to happen.
And the long and short of it is 150 games in the National Football League, 89 starts, 5 interceptions. You know, you had 16 sacks in your career, and you were a valuable member with every team that you played with, and a guy that was always, you know, a leader. And it really, Chris, when you think about it, for all the things that you accomplished on the football field, while you were playing, and that's how we got to know each other through my radio show at SiriusXM NFL Radio, Chris Draft was always doing not one, but two or three different things given back. Football camps, having kids read. I mean, where did that come from within you?
I tell you, I always tried to think about myself as a young person. When I was in the NFL, and what it would mean if an NFL player had spoke to me, had talked to me, and then I would remember it, you know, for the rest of my life. I mean, I had a chance when I was 5 years old to go out to the Pro Bowl, and I met Donnie Schell, who, when I went to the Carolina Panthers, was our director of player engagement, and it was Donnie Schell. But I held that. When we were growing up, we didn't have a whole bunch of money. So the idea of going to a game, of really being in those circles with kind of these influential people, that we weren't in those circles so much. So when I had a chance to go, you know, to play in the league, I was excited, not just excited about playing so that I could be on the field with, you know, 80,000 people screaming, not just to be able to buy a nice car and house, but for the opportunity to platform, you know, the change that could happen with our platform. We have media. We have guys like you at our locker all the time. And we can choose to talk just about football. Or we can talk about something else. And we can use our platform to uplift people outside of our facility. We can uplift our community in the work that we do.
In 2006, you founded the Chris Draft Family Foundation. And this is a multi-platform foundation. And not disrespecting, you know, there's a lot of guys that do a lot of things and they have foundations, but yours is unique because you set out a real plan and then you cover a lot of different areas. And you don't just keep, you didn't just keep it where you are. I mean, you literally do stuff nationally. Tell me about the inspiration behind the Chris Draft Family Foundation.
Man, that's a great question. I mean, it's actually inspired by two people that had cancer. One was my high school football coach who was diagnosed with melanoma, skin cancer, my first year at Stanford. And then the other one was a special ed teacher that I taught with in high schools that was diagnosed with lung cancer my freshman year at Stanford. And at that time, did I really understand the differences between cancers? Not so much. Found out a little bit in the fact that she, the one that had lung cancer, actually passed about a year and a half later, where my coach passed just last year. And, you know, when I looked at, you know, what they were going through, I was really inspired by the fact of how strong they were and how supportive they were. And we looked at that and said, if cancer came in your life or anything came into your life, what would you need to have? What kind of tools would you need in your toolbox to be able to fight it and put up that, you know, the best fight for it? You know, how educated would you need to be? How healthy would you need it to be? You know, how much of your community, how much support would you need in your community? What types of resources would you need in your community? And so that's really where it came from. Our Empowering Families to Live Healthy Lifestyles, which is the mission of the Chris Draft Family Foundation, really started from thinking of your worst day and then kind of backing out from there and saying, what would you need on that worst day to be able to get out of it?
Chris, it hit home for you. That question that you had, that answer that you wanted to try to provide people, hits literally home for you with your wife. Talk me through that very emotional time when all these things that your foundation was doing, and now all of a sudden it's not Chris Draft the foundation, but it's Chris Draft the man.
And so much. I mean, like, the foundation was about prevention. It was about how strong do you need to be on that day. What could you do to make sure that you put yourself in the best situation? And so my wife, December of 2010, you know, I was with the Redskins in training camp of 2010, was released. I'm back at home. It's my 13th year in the league. She's challenging me to do P90X and run a 10K race with her. And I'm over here like, man, I'm a linebacker. Man, I'm not trying to run 6 miles. But this woman that's in tremendous shape, this woman that was a, you know, had danced with the Charlotte Hornets, that, you know, just health was a part of her life, had a little shortness of breath in December of 2010, and went in and got checked by her primary care doc, and it came back, she had lung cancer. This amazing, in shape woman had never smoked, 37 years old, lung cancer. After we got the full diagnosis, not just lung cancer, but stage 4 lung cancer. Now, prior to that, if you were to ask me about staging, I really wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known that stage 1 is localized and stage 4 is where it's metastasized. Would I have known what metastasized meant? And that just means that it's spread. But that's what it was, stage 4 lung cancer. And so the foundation that was focused on making sure that you're taking care of yourself, having, you know, by being physically fit, doing your regular checkups with your doctor. My wife did that. She was in amazing shape. She ate well. She exercised. She saw her doctor. The importance of being educated, and that translating directly in, you know, your health care and your job opportunities and your relationships. She graduated from Clemson with a degree in electrical engineering, was intelligent, was working in pharmaceutical sales, had a tremendous group around her. We lived in Atlanta, which meant we had access to Emory University and the Winship Cancer Institute. So these tremendous things that are important within the foundation, but then there are is cancer. And so my wife, she fought. She made sure we took every day at a time. She found a way to smile, to enjoy the day, even though the treatments weren't working. They weren't working, and they were kind of just slowing things down. But she found a way. And she found a way throughout that process, and in doing that, you know, she really inspired so many people. But she didn't inspire anyone any more than she inspired me when we had a chance to be married in November of 2011. And, you know, to see her walk down the aisle, to see her fight her fights that still, you know, to smile and still bring energy. And along the way, we made a commitment to each other. But on that day, we also made a commitment to a larger community. When my wife said, how about we don't get presents? How about we ask people to donate to the foundation so we can really fight back against cancer? So the prevention is good, but we need something that's going to specifically fight cancer. That was my wife. A month before she passed away, we were getting married, and all she could still do was think about other people.
Chris, the Super Bowl, you have all kinds of things going on with the foundation, including the Super Bowl Challenge. That was inspired by your wife as well, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. While I was playing, she wanted to go to the Super Bowl. And I said, not going to the Super Bowl unless I'm playing in the Super Bowl, because I am not going to watch somebody else.
Which is for people that are listening, they don't understand. You know, the players, every player in the league gets, they get two tickets to the Super Bowl. The guys never use it, right? Because it's almost superstitious. If you're not playing, you don't want to be there. You want your first one to be the one you play in, right?
Absolutely. And you have to buy the ticket.
Right.
You have to buy the ticket. So, you know, the idea of paying to watch somebody else play when you're not there. It's just not something that you want to do. So I'm saying I want to be the one in the Super Bowl. I want somebody else watching me play in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But so when I finished up, my wife is diagnosed, and she had wanted to go to the Super Bowl. She had wanted to do that. You know, we had talked about that. And said, all right, we're going to go. And it just happened that her favorite team, which was the Pittsburgh Steelers, was playing. It was in Dallas. They played against Green Bay. You know, Green Bay won, unfortunately, but had an amazing time and had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And it really sent a message to so many people in our circle that, hey, we're going to fight for the moment. You know, regardless of what's going on, she actually had 2 weeks of radiation prior to going to the Super Bowl, and then was going to start chemo the following week. So we got to live. Within this, we've got to live. And so that was the inspiration for our Super Bowl Challenge, which allows our lung cancer survivor advocates to compete. So instead of just raising money just for research for something that's down the line, what we've done is we've given our lung cancer survivors an opportunity to raise, and whoever raises the most, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Whoever's, you know, second, Pro Bowl, and third, the taste of the NFL. And so we have some tremendous advocates. And what we're saying is there's not enough awareness about lung cancer, but if we can get you in the room with Hall of Famers, if we can get you in the room with media folks like Bob Pop, with Sirius NFL Radio, with the New York Giants podcast with Bob Pop, then you can be heard. We can be heard. And so that's what our challenge is about, is that letting people compete, allowing it to kind of tap into some of the football competitiveness, and at the same time be able to bring a large amount of awareness.
Chris, Lakeisha is obviously a huge inspiration, and this challenge is born out of her desire to go to the Super Bowl. How did you, because you hear these stories all the time, I mean, people go into dark places, when something like this touches a loved one. What pulled Chris Draft through this from the time that she was diagnosed to the time of her passing that you didn't go to the dark place, that you've shined light on it and you've brought light to the situation?
I think so. While she was being, while she was going through it, so her diagnosis in December and, in past following December, so many people ask me, don't you wish you were still playing football? Man, do you wish you? And I have to give them a pass because most people, they don't really think of life in football. They don't think about the other things that's going on. All they can think about is football. And don't you just wish you were out there on the field and making money and doing it? And so they're not really thinking about that. December of 2010, if I was playing football, I wouldn't have been in Atlanta. November of 2010, if I was playing football, I wouldn't have been in Atlanta. And I wouldn't have had a chance to have Thanksgiving with my future wife and her family in Atlanta. I wouldn't have had a chance to be in Atlanta when my wife was diagnosed with cancer. I wouldn't have had a chance to be by her side as she's going through this crazy battle. You know, as a football player, you understand the importance of team, but nowhere in what I did on the football field was it anywhere near as important as being by my wife. So I understand the importance of team. I understand a fight that is what my wife was going through, and what she needed is she needed somebody that would stand there right with her. She needed somebody that was going to give her encouragement, that was going to help her move, get to where she needed to go, give her energy, and be that cheerleader, be that equipment man, be that trainer, be that support as she's going through that battle. The only thing that I would wish is that she could have gave it to me. I wish that I could have carried. I wish she could have just passed it over. But she wasn't. And so you say, where's that, that dark place? It wouldn't help my wife. It wouldn't help her move forward. And after she passed, again, what does it help by me sitting there? I look at football as an inspiration. And it says when things go bad, if we had a bad game, if we had a bad year, it doesn't help to sit there and to just think about it and be mad about it. At some point, you have to take a hard look at what happened, and you have to respond. And that's what we were able to do. My wife laid it out before she passed away by launching Team Draft and said, we are going to respond. We are going to respond. It's going to be difficult to find you. It is going to be difficult. So we're going to have to go really understand this space. We're going to have to get to know the players, the cancer centers. There's been 130 cancer centers. We're going to have to get to know the survivors. We're going to have to go to the cities, go to the conferences to understand where we can make a difference. But what we know is that we got the NFL, we got a tremendous relationship with the NFL, my wife danced in the NBA, that we've got the relationship that it takes. What we just have to do is build the relationships on the other side, the cancer side, to really be able to make a difference.
For those listening, Chris, obviously it's the ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. Is it as simple as just going to the website? And for people out there that want to donate, that want to give their time, want to give their money, best way to reach you, best way to reach the foundation, empowering families to lead that healthy lifestyle?
Absolutely. They can go to ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. They'll be able to see some of the other initiatives. If they want to see specifically our cancer initiative, they go to TeamDraft.org also. And it is real easy, man. There's a donate button in the corner. You guys can hit that. There's stories of our survivors. So if you want to know why we're doing it, you can see them. We're changing the face of lung cancer as it relates to Team Draft. And none of that happens. I mean, really, there's relationships that we have, as I said, with the NFL, with the NBA and all these things. But there's relationships with yourself. But none of that can still happen without the support, monetary support of people around this country. So there are people probably that are going to listen to this that have already given. I want to tell them thank you. And then there's people that right now are thinking about that. And we say, hey, please donate. We have our Super Bowl challenge that's going on right now that's running all the way through January 4th. And if it's hard for you to think about how do I just give directly to the foundation, go to our Super Bowl challenge, read about one of the survivors, find your favorite survivor, find that person that connects with you, and donate to their team.
Chris, it's not just that. It's not just team draft. It's literacy leaders. It's asthma team. It's character team. It's military appreciation. I mean, it's drafts, picks. I mean, you got it all working here. And it's got to feel good in a bittersweet way to know that you're touching all the bases.
You know, as a football player, it was always hard for me to just take my job, you know, like to just say, this is just what I do. I'm a linebacker. I have to know what other people are doing. And I think what our foundation looks at is that we can't talk about cancer without talking about education. I've been in a couple of meetings with the new CEO of American Cancer Society. And he says, even though we've had tremendous innovation, tremendous advancements in cancer, that cancer care is still more about the zip code than the genetic code. More about the zip code than the genetic code. And so it says, if we want to make a difference in health, if we want to make a difference in cancer, then we can't just talk about cancer. We can't just innovate within cancer, but we have to talk about character. We have to talk about literacy and education. We've got to talk about fitness. We have to talk about relationships with primary care docs. We have to talk about access to care within our communities. We've got to be able to do that.
I encourage everybody that's listening to check the website out, ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. Read the different initiatives, the foundation initiatives, because there's a lot going on. And there's a lot of good being done by one man born out of personal tragedy. But you got to be really proud, because I look at it from the outside and I say, man, you cannot be paying greater tribute and honor to your wife who passed away than the work that you're doing, Chris.
Well, I tell you, she cared about other people, man. And that's who she was. Up until her last day, she kept on still worrying about other people, and that's the heart of the foundation. I mean, it's not me. It's all the people that have supported us. I mean, I couldn't go without the support that we have. It starts with my wife, who again laid it out clear that this is going to be about other people. So it's about all our survivors. It's about our survivor advocates that are willing to stand up within this disease, within going through this disease, that they're willing to stand up and share their stories. They're willing to be a little uncomfortable so that they can help other people. And it's just really a privilege to be able to help raise them up, to help them have a little bit more of a platform to share a story that is theirs, that's unique to them. It's not just the story, but it's their story.
Chris, we appreciate you sharing your story with us. The story of the ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. Continued success, and we look forward to seeing you down at the Super Bowl, buddy.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much.
That's Chris Draft joining us on this edition of PapaCast.